Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. No, no, no. These are not the dulcet tones of Annie Fry. Brad Young in with you today, and we're going to have a blast for the next 3 hours. In fact, I told Brad Range that I've got about 6 hours of material here, so I don't know that we're going to get through it. But whatever we get through, it's going to be a blast.
I mean, let's push through it. Let's get all 6 hours in.
Well, or if you're listening to the podcast, listen to it on twice the speed.
Right, and you get double the information.
And we'll get all the information in that you have.
Perfect. Ryan, you are a genius.
That's how that works. I don't make the rules. That's how it works.
It does. That's how it works. So we got lots of stuff to cover today. But the most important thing, really, even in the whole show, is to hear from you. So if you go to the YouTube channel, just go to YouTube, put in Annie Fry Show Live, and you can comment and literally be a part of the show. I've got the comments right here in front of me. I'm going to be reading through them as the show unfolds today. And if you want to be a part of the show, that's how you do it. See, this is unlike any other type of media. I love Brian Kilmeade, but you don't get to communicate with Brian Kilmeade as the show unfolds. But you get to do that here. That is the beauty of local radio. So we're going to be diving into topics, listening to you, hearing from you. We've got some interviews today. But of course, the best part of the show is Ryan Wiggins. Ryan, good to see you again.
Oh, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And
Ryan's marking his show sheet right now. He's like, all right, promo.
Let's hope that check clears, right?
That'd be fine.
So I got to tell you, today, I don't usually eat lunch whenever I'm coming in to do the show just because I don't have time. I've got to do my real job of running my law firm here in town. But I ate something on the way in, and I just want to mention this was fantastic. It was venison jerky. Ryan, have you ever had venison jerky?
I love it.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
And one in particular, I've never had this before, but somebody gave it to me over the weekend. Wild Bone Company. Has you ever had that, Ryan?
Yeah, I have. Yeah? Not as good.
Why is it not as good?
I didn't know that this is happening. So it's actually made for, you know, I think we call them canines in the law enforcement world.
What?
In the biz.
Yeah, in the industry. Yeah, this is, so Wild Bone Company is dog food. Is this something?
No.
Is this something that you had heard us talk about?
No, I just thought, I know you like venison jerky, and I thought you'd be a fan of this stuff from Wild Bone Company. And apparently you are.
So have you had it?
Well, I've
you
heard
said you
that
ate it on the way in.
I
right?
ate some jerky, but I heard that the Wild Bone Company is even better.
Well, since
than
you
what
haven't
I
heard anything ahead of time, let me recommend you go get some and
that's
definitely
so mean.
Eat it. Definitely, and
that's,
call in and let us know
that's
let
so you how mean, it is.
How
because
it is.
You've had it.
I did.
And I heard you said, though, it was for the dogs, right? You just say it's dog treats?
Oh, so you have heard
no,
us talking
No, I just heard you
this.
Say
you
it like
it.
72 seconds ago.
Ah, I don't remember saying it. But yes, it is technically for dogs.
So you were eating dog treats. Is that what you're telling me?
No. This is dog food. These weren't
oh.
treats.
Oh, so there. But how much of a difference is there between eating dog food and eating dog treats?
Well, as you might know, a lot of really crappy dog food is not made from the best ingredients. So if you're buying crappy dog food and it's full of sawdust, this is a feast for an animal.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I bought. It was in a little bag, had the little Ziploc, and it was, if I were a dog, I would think, this is heaven. As a human, I recognize that it was not, it was pretty chewy,
mm-hmm.
and it had some little spots in it that looked like, you know, they didn't process this as much as they should have.
Okay.
And it made me think there's something a little bit off about this.
Okay.
And I immediately, as a good research tech does, turned the package around and I started reading it after
and
I had
said,
eaten it.
And it said, not designed for human consumption.
It might have said something like that. Really, it just was talking about how great your dogs are going to love it. And at that moment, I realized this is probably, like you said, not meant for humans, but right. specifically for dogs. Could I have eaten it? Probably. Would I have been a worse man for it? No.
No.
And I still am not. But it was for dogs.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you clarified, because on that recommendation, I'm going to take a strong, hard pass on eating that particular, you know, dog food.
Eat a different brand of dog food.
No.
And call the show.
Try Blue Buffalo. Tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I lost a bet in the third grade, and I had to eat dog chow. Or no, I'm sorry. It was Gravy Train. Sorry. Gravy Train. You ever had Gravy Train?
Is that a dog brand?
You ever heard of Gravy
it's a
Train?
It's dog food, isn't it?
It's a dog food. There used to be big commercials for them in the 70s. And I lost a bet, and I kept my end of the bargain, and I ate a cup of Gravy Train. And to this day, I will never forget the vileness of that consumption.
So
it was bad.
So
was it crunchy?
Oh, it was very crunchy.
It I didn't did know not if it was a soft dog kibble. Food.
No. It was very, very crunchy. But you're supposed to add water to it to make the Gravy Train. I chose not to do that, and it would have been gross, even more gross if it would have been had water on it.
Really, what Brad's describing is much worse than what I did.
Yeah, but
you
but
ate
the difference,
a full cup of dog food.
Yeah, but he
the
lost
difference
a bet.
Was the difference was I was in the third grade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a otherwise responsible human being adult that you're, you know, at least purport to be.
All right,
does it help that my son ate it too and he's in second grade?
But you gave it to him though, right?
He trusted you.
He's like, aiding, you're really dogging on my family now.
You're aiding and abetting the providing a non edible food products to your son?
A few years ago, I actually tried a milk bone just out of morbid curiosity.
No, are you serious now? Why hasn't this come up before?
Well, because that's not good radio before.
This is the top of the show as we're doing this right now.
Yeah. Well, you wanted fun today, so here we go.
Well, I guess so.
One of the guys is like, oh, yeah, it's just kind of...
One of the guys.
Yeah, bland and whatever, and so we each took one and tried it.
Now, this is coming back up, because when this topic becomes fodder again, yes. which apparently it's going to
it
forever, let's not forget what Brad Range has done. He has chosen to eat dog food and went through with it, and still yet...
Yeah, I wasn't
somehow,
fooled by the package.
The butt of the joke is that I tried jerky that I thought was human jerky, realized that it wasn't, and did not eat it. And I'm in a room of people who have eaten it by choice.
Yeah, but mine, of course, again, I was in the third grade.
Brad wasn't.
No,
Brad
I was like
not.
In the seventh.
You were in the seventh grade.
Oh, that's actually a little bit better than I thought it was. I thought you meant the guys like a couple years ago.
No, we did do this a couple. No, this is seventh grade.
Well, speaking of absurd actions, okay, how's this for a segue?
I'm waiting.
Jussie Smollett. I know you guys talked about this last week a little bit because I heard some of the conversation, but I'm still taken aback to this day about the audacity of the Illinois Supreme Court to reverse the Jussie Smollett conviction. Now, we all know Jussie Smollett. He did it. How do we know he did it? There's video. The people that he paid, the moron Jussie Smollett actually wrote a check to his accomplices. They cashed the check. They've admitted what they did. They admitted how they were recruited. They said that none of what Jussie Smollett said is true. And the Chicago Police Department was forced to expend tens of thousands of dollars in man hours to investigate this alleged hate crime, which turned out to be a spoof of the media. And they all bought into it. And after all of that, then you've got the Kim Fox in Chicago, who is the Kim Gardner of Chicago. She is a George Soros paid for prosecuting attorney, trained by George Soros' think tank called the Vera Institute on how to not prosecute crime. That's the way they're trained to operate. The way to combat racism is to not prosecute crime. But it seems odd. I mean, that would be like if you guys had me come in here today and you say, Brad, we need you to fill in for 3 hours, but we don't want you to talk.
We don't want you to do radio.
We don't want you to speak. We just want you to stand here. Well, you know, 3 hours of silence does not make for good radio. And in the same way, hiring a prosecuting attorney to not prosecute crime goes against what they did. And yet the Illinois Supreme Court validated that nolle prosecue, which is the Latin for non-prosecution, they validated that and allowed Jussie Smollett now to further lie and try to claim that he didn't do it. Thoughts?
I mean, legally, I'm glad you're here because I didn't know how to approach this legally because there could be things here that I'm like, yeah, actually, just from a legal standpoint, that's correct. And it's hard to not cloud your judgment because this story is so ridiculous and salacious that you feel like there should be some sort of recompense for Jussie Smollett because of what he did in trying to basically turn the nation against half of the nation.
Right.
I mean, he
tried
to make a national event.
Yes.
Out of something he completely fabricated for his own career,
and he used the people's resources to do so,
and that's where it gets murky because okay, now he's spent, you know, taxpayer money,
yes,
essentially to do it.
Yeah, well, there's this idea of double jeopardy. Mm-hmm. We've all heard of double jeopardy. You can't be charged and convicted of the same crime twice, but. A nolle pros, as it's called, a dismissal of charges, is not a prosecution. So under the Constitution, that does not rise to the level of double jeopardy because he was, in fact, never prosecuted for that crime. Now, I read the briefs filed by the parties. I read them, I don't know, a couple of months ago, so I don't have all the case law memorized. But I can tell you that the special prosecutor that was hired on this case cited multiple, and when I say multiple, there were at least a dozen instances under Illinois law where people who have had their charges dismissed were still later able to be prosecuted because it did not violate the concept of double jeopardy. But the Illinois Supreme Court, in ignoring that case law, chose to transform the Jussie Smollett situation from what should have been a legal decision, and they put it back into a political decision. And okay. So Illinois Supreme Court said, we're going to ignore the law, and we're going to, again, validate, because we agree with the politics of Jussie Smollett, we're going to validate his politics and ignore the law. And to me, courts should never be doing that.
That's discouraging because I was hoping that, yes, while Jussie Smollett is getting off here and scot-free or whatever, you know, his career is really not, I mean, in the eyes of the public, he has not maintained a good rapport. But
no.
Which is good. I mean, that actually to me is the proper punishment, is that he tried to further his career by lying and his career has now been basically shot.
Right, it has. But there's also a silver lining here because even though this gets rid of the criminal situation with regard to his conviction, which was really functionally irrelevant, he had already served his 150 days in prison. He had already done that. He'd already done some of these other things in order to get this dismissal of a prosecution. So to me, it's not really that big of a deal. But the silver lining, if there is any silver lining, is that the civil case can still go forward. So the city of Chicago is suing Jussie Smollett to recoup the money that it paid. And I read through the entire decision from the Illinois Supreme Court, and not at one point did they say he was innocent. Not at one point did they say he didn't do this. They simply and very narrowly determined on the grounds of so-called due process that because they had this deal with Kim Fox, then we're not going to allow the prosecution to stand. But they at no point said he was innocent. So the civil case can still go forward. And now we have like an O.J. Simpson deal where even though they may have skated on the criminal aspects, the civil judgment against O.J. Simpson just pursued him for the remainder of his lifetime. And we're going to see that here with Jussie Smollett. So not only is he not going to get hired anywhere, but when he starts doing lawn work and gardening, or, you know, working in the city of Chicago sanitation department or whatever job he eventually gets, at that point, he's going to lose the civil case and his bank account will be drained to the extent that it costs the taxpayers of the city of Chicago to investigate a fraudulent allegation of crime.
Wow.
Yeah. And again, my point was, if the Supreme Court had found that this, the Illinois Supreme Court,
right,
had found that this was, yeah, we disagree with Jussie Smollett, but here's why it shouldn't happen. It sounds like to me what you're saying is, no, they actually looked for a political reason to let him off.
So was,
I think they did.
Was Kim Gardner, or Kim Gardner,
Kim Fox.
Kim Fox's plea deal was not legally binding?
Well, it was an agreement not to prosecute.
Okay.
All right. But when it went to a special prosecutor, then they were prosecuted. So the legal question from a double jeopardy standpoint is, did the fact that they nolly prost the initial charges, does that prevent a further prosecution of that crime? And the answer to that under Illinois law is no, it does not prevent further prosecution because the charges were dropped. If they would have, like, for example, here's your classic situation.
Okay.
I get this all the time. Clients of mine, they get a speeding ticket, right? And they call me up. They say, Brad, I got a speeding ticket. I don't want this to go on my insurance. Okay, fine. And everyone says fixing a ticket. There is no such thing as fixing a ticket. What you do is that you agree to plead to a lesser charge, mm-hmm, that's a non-moving violation. And in exchange for that, you pay a fine. That is, you're being charged now with a muffler violation or improper parking or improper vehicle noise or any of those things. And in exchange for that, you pay a fine. So you're being convicted of a crime. It just happens to be a non-moving crime. So you're being convicted. Now, if you want to be charged with that speeding charge again, you're going, oh, no, no, no. I've already pled guilty to this other charge. And that's at the point that your due process rights require under double jeopardy. You can't be charged with the same crime again. That's not what happened with Jussie. They simply dismissed the charges. They did not prosecute him. If he would have pled guilty to littering,
mm-hmm,
and then been sentenced to serve that time in jail or community service or whatever in exchange for reducing those charges to littering, then double jeopardy would have attached. But that's not what happened.
Does double jeopardy ever apply when a case is moving up in the court system? So if something happens at a lower court and then a higher court, and you're innocent, and then a higher court agrees to take it and say, no, we're going to relook at this, can you say, no, that's double jeopardy then? Or is it that, no, it, once it moves up, then no, it's redone?
No, in the appellate process, that's not, it's considered a continuation of the same matter.
Okay.
It's not a new matter every time. But in this instance, double jeopardy does not attach because the charges were dismissed. And there's case law on this. So that's why it moves into the political arena here, which to me is unfortunate, because really you're validating by doing this. The Supreme Court is saying we are validating someone who fabricated charges in order to bolster his own career and to smear the Republican nominee for president. And we're going to validate that by saying, we're going to remove those criminal convictions from your record. And to me, courts should not be encouraging people to fraudulently report crime. And yet that's what the Illinois Supreme Court did last week. And to me, that in of itself should be a crime. But I will tell you what's not a crime. In fact, what I will tell you is that it's not only not a crime, but it's a pleasure in the next segment to talk about Guns and Hoses. We all heard of Guns and Hoses. We've got some folks on in the next segment from both police and fire to talk about the upcoming Guns and Hoses event, what it means, the emotional connection with Guns and Hoses, but more importantly, how does it help our police and firefighters who literally every day put their lives on the line to protect you and me. That's coming up next right here on the Annie Fry Show. Brad Young sitting in today. Stick around. We'll be right back. Back to the Annie Fry Show, and I got to tell you, it is my pleasure to introduce two distinguished gentlemen here that's going to join me in studio for this segment. That is Eureka Fire Chief Greg Brown. Chief Brown, it's great to meet you, sir.
Great to meet you, too. Thanks for having us down.
Yeah, and we also have a Lieutenant Colonel Lawrence O'Toole. He's the Executive Director of Backstoppers and a retired St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, and also FBI National Academy class. So, sir, welcome.
Thank you, and glad to be here.
So I know you guys are here, and I've already told you that my dad was a volunteer firefighter, and so both of you gentlemen are very near and dear to my heart. My dad's best friend was the sheriff of Franklin County, Illinois, and he loved to tell the story that some guy named Earl was coming out of the Moose Lodge one night, and he was staggering. He could barely walk, and he was trying to get his car key into this pickup truck. Couldn't get it in. The sheriff pulls up and says, "Earl, what are you doing? You're drunk." And Earl said, "Well, I have to drive. I'm too drunk to walk." And so the sheriff drove him home. But I'm obviously, guys, I applaud you for what you do. But let's talk a little bit about the upcoming Backstoppers, because I could sit and tell stories all day long. So when is Backstoppers Guns and Hoses this year?
It's this Wednesday, November the 27th.
Okay.
It starts at 5 o'clock, and we'll have preliminary bouts from 5 to 6:30, and then at 6:30, the show really gets going. It's on TV. It's broadcast here on 97.1. So it's the most fun you're ever going to have on the night before Thanksgiving in St. Louis, hands down.
That is great. So, Lieutenant Colonel O'Toole, tell me, how long has this been going on? How long have we had Guns and Hoses?
I think we're in our 37th year of Guns and Hoses, and it started 37 years ago with a gentleman by the name of Jerry Clinton, who was the owner of Gray Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Martorelli and Bo Holly put together this idea of having this boxing match, and it's continued on till today. And now David Stokes with Gray Eagle, he's the president of Guns and Hoses, and Steve Holly, Bo's son, is there, and he stepped up and he's running. And we have a lot of other volunteers to keep this this event going.
We're gonna have Steve on tomorrow.
Oh,
talk
very,
about it.
Very good. And I know that everyone is familiar with Guns and Hoses, but Chief Brown, just tell us a little bit about the money raised. What does it go for?
The money, 100% of the money raised goes to the Backstoppers. The Backstoppers is just an amazing organization that steps in when our police officers, firefighters are killed in the line of duty or catastrophically injured, and they take care of the families. They do whatever it takes. Colonel O'Toole is the executive director of the Backstoppers. He's an amazing guy. He's replacing Chief Ron Battelle, who has been there for 20 years, a truly an amazing guy. And they step in whatever it takes. I can tell you that one of the first Backstoppers board meetings I got to attend, there was a widow. This was probably 10 years ago, but there was a widow who her husband was killed in line of duty, a police officer, back in the 1970s. And so she had to be in her 80s, needed a new roof on her house, didn't have a way to pay for it. There was no question she was taken care of.
Wow.
The families are taken care of. Kids are guaranteed education all the way up to graduate school, doctoral degrees. If they can do the work to get there, the Backstoppers is there. So it's an amazing organization that takes care of these families of those public servants when the time's the worst.
Colonel O'Toole, I want to turn to you for a moment, because how important is it for officers, for firefighters who are out there in the field doing what they do, whether it's stopping crime, investigating crime, putting out fires, investigating fires, all the things that you guys do, and I'm in awe of what you do, and I'm just going to have to get that out there. But how important is it to folks who are actually on the street knowing that Backstoppers has their back?
You know, being a first responder is a very dangerous job. And those first responders know the danger that comes along with it. And I think that, it's a great point, because every day our first responders are out there doing a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. And they don't dwell on, you know, hey, this. They know that they could really go bad. But they know also that the backstoppers, that we're going to be there, you know, so they recognize that and they fully understand that. You know, the backstoppers, just to talk a little bit, you know, it was created in 1959. It's a 501c3. All our funding comes from fundraisers like Guns and Hoses, which is our biggest fundraiser, through other donations, other mm-hmm. fundraisers and memberships. We're dependent upon. We don't get any tax money or any type of government money or grants like this, but in our time, we've supported over 200 families.
My goodness!
Right now, as I stand here today, we're supporting approximately 95 families and 75 children. And as Chief Brown said, from I call it from preschool to graduate school, where they don't age out. The children don't age out with us until 26. And again, right now, this year. So in July, Captain James Kova, Afton Fire District, he died in the line of duty. In August, police officer Travis Brown with yes. the Ferguson Police Department was catastrophically injured, and we're assisting his family now. That was in August, and he's in some rehab in Atlanta, so our prayers are for him. So we're assisting that family. In September, we had police officer David Lee, who was a St. Louis police officer who was killed on Highway 70. I just retired from the St. Louis Police Department a little more than 2 years ago, and so I knew Officer Lee, just a good officer. So we're assisting his family. And then just a few days after that, we had a St. Louis City Sheriff who suffered a fatal heart attack down at the courthouse, Sheriff Deputy Dennis Boyd. So, you know, we've assisted these families already this year. Hmm. So it's something that the first responders know, and they appreciate everything we do, and we have a lot. We have a great community. We have 28 counties we support. Our footprint is 28 counties.
I did not know that.
18 counties in Missouri, 10 in Illinois. We go as far west as Clinton County. So it's on its way to Mount Vernon. So all the way to Clinton County. In Missouri, we go as far west as Gasconade County, Montgomery County, and Phelps County, as far north as Pike County in Missouri, and as far south as Scott County, which is just south of Cape Girardeau. So we have a pretty large footprint. When we hear backstoppers, we think in the metropolitan area, but we have a much larger footprint than that.
And I want to make something else clear, too, because a lot of times, particularly when we saw with Travis Brown and others, where we know that they're having workers' compensation benefits that are paying for some of the needs of the families, the things that backstoppers covers is things that workers' compensation insurance coverage would never cover, the way you provide for the children, right?
Right, yes. We assist the children, take their tuition payments, and like I said, all the way from preschool to college. And we're supporting 75 children right now.
So you mentioned, Chief Brown, that the Guns and Hoses is this Wednesday night. If people want to attend this, not only to help backstoppers, but to see this friendly rivalry that I'm going to ask you about in just a moment, how can they get tickets for this?
Right now, what you need to do is go online at stlgunsandhoses.com to see if there's any tickets available. They are getting short, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a sellout. There's also an opportunity tonight at 4 o'clock at Helen Fitzgerald's is the weigh-in and press conference, and there'll be a few tickets there that'll be able to be had. So if you show up out at Helen Fitzgerald's at 4 o'clock, you could possibly pick up a ticket there.
And that's 4 o'clock today?
Today, yeah.
Very, very good. Now, gentlemen, before I let you go, I got to tell you this. One of my favorite shows is Blue Bloods, all right? And one of the things that Blue Bloods always shows is this friendly rivalry between the police and the firefighters. Is that true? You guys have this friendly rivalry between the two of you?
Absolutely, it's true. And it is friendly. Colonel O'Toole being with the police department, me being with the fire department, anybody who's been around us, They know we're back and forth at each other all of the time. But if somebody said something bad about him, I would be right there with
him.
Whatever it takes.
We're all first responders. We're truly, you know, brothers and sisters. I mean, we're close. We may rib one another, but when the going gets tough, we're out there. And we're out there together. We're on many scenes together, the police and fire. We are on many scenes together. So we're dependent upon one another. And just as a final point, if anybody has questions about the Backstoppers and what we do, backstoppers.org. It'll tell you everything about what we do. All the different fundraising events are all over the 28 counties. All the first responders who we honor, who we've taken over and helped assist their families financially. So backstoppers.org. If anybody has any questions at all about the organization,
and you can go on there, you can donate, you can see different fundraisers, all sorts of things like that. Correct?
Yes, you can go on there. We have a number of different levels of memberships, and so all that you can get right on. We have if you're interested, there's an apparel shop if you want to buy something that says Backstoppers on it and all that. So I encourage people, hey, if you have any questions at all about Backstoppers, go on our webpage, and just about everything you may ask, you'll find the answer to right there.
Very good, gentlemen. Again, Guns and Hoses this Wednesday night. If you can't make it, it'll be right here on 97.1 FM Talk. And Chief O'Toole, as I tell my kids, I teased all my girls mercilessly. I always told them, I tease you because I love you. So, you know, it's that brotherhood love thing, and I'm glad you guys exhibit that. Chief Brown, pleasure to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you.
And I know that I'm going to be checking out Guns and Hoses this year. I hope everyone does, too. Thanks for coming in studio with us today.
Thank you very much.
Hey, we're going to take a break here on the Annie Fry Show. Brad Young filling in today. We'll be back with more of the Annie Fry Show right after this.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Well, it's a shame that Brad Young didn't give me an introduction, because usually he gives me a very good one. But I guess we'll just go right into the sounder. That's all right. I don't think your mic's on, my friend.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, there we go. So first, this is the Monday roundup, so all the stories that you missed from the weekend, kind of the page two stuff that we might not get to in the rest of the show. The first one, Macy's, as in the department store, delayed its third quarter earnings report because an employee they found has hidden up to $154 million in expenses.
What?
That's it?
They hid it?
Yeah, Macy's on Monday, this is from Yahoo Finance, delayed its third quarter earnings release as it conducts an internal investigation into employee hiding hundreds of millions of dollars in expenses. This was one employee responsible for small package delivery.
Now, here's the question, though. Wait, here's the question. Is he hiding expenses of the company, or is he hiding his own personal expenses? Because if he can figure out a way to have $150 million in a year of personal expenses, I want to meet this guy.
Yeah.
Because he's got places to party.
Yeah, and also, it would be tough to sue him because he's going to hire great lawyers.
Oh, yeah. He's
with that $154 million. No, I don't think that was the case, though. It says that this is in accounting, and it was intentionally made erroneous, accrual entries, I guess, over the span of a few years that hid between $132 million and $154 million. That's where the audit comes in.
Gotcha.
They're not exactly sure how much it is, just in the $150 million range. But this is over years, so it was quarter four of 2021 through the quarter that just ended. Macy's said that, surprise, surprise, the employer is no longer with the company.
What? Well, you know the difference between a good accountant and a great accountant, don't you?
No.
A good accountant tells you how much money you've made. A great accountant says, how much money do you want to make? Those are two different, completely different questions.
I gotcha. Okay. If my sound's up. Yeah, there we go. It's all the way up, my sound there. All right, the next one is, I'm not going to play the sound because we've already played some of this sound, but apparently the hosts of The View, according to an Odyssey article here, were forced to read four different legal notes in one episode.
Oh my gosh.
So we've been playing back the random ones. You know, this has got to be because of the administration change. They've been slandering everybody forever and getting away with it.
Nobody cared.
And then all of a sudden, Trump wins the election. They're like, you know what we should do? Not slander people, or at least correct them when they do. Like, all of a sudden, you have truth in reporting? It's so weird.
It's so funny because on that, they'll come out of a thing and they'll be like, oh, and before we go to break, Sonny, you have a legal note?
That's exactly what happened in this random episode. It says the first note was made while Joy Behar was discussing George Santos and the former congressman's 23 criminal charges. Minutes after discussing Santos, she was forced to read a message from the show's producers. So this is happening in live time.
Oh, gosh.
1 minute, I just got a note, Behar told the audience. We have to clarify that Santos eventually reached a plea deal after pleading guilty to wire fraud and aggravated identity theft. Is that a legal note? Said co-host Haynes. Kind of. It's a clarification. Yeah. Behar said. So that's number one. That's number one. Remember, this is one show. Later in the show, the host talked about sexual assault allegations against Matt Gaetz, Trump's first pick for attorney general, and Pete Hegseth, his defense secretary pick. After making comments regarding the men, Hostin was forced to read out denials provided by both men's lawyers regarding the allegations. I have a legal note. Matt Gaetz has long denied all allegations and has not been charged with any crime, Austin said. That's wow. Number two.
Yep.
Number three. This show is a lot of number two, by the way.
Watch Restep.
Number three. Also, I got another legal note. They just went right into the next one. Pete Hegseth's lawyer has said he paid the woman, his assault accuser, in 2023 to head off the threat of a baseless lawsuit. He has denied any wrongdoing, she went on to add. Just minutes later, Hostin issued the show's fourth note, this time pertaining to Pam Bondi, Trump's new pick to be the attorney general. I'm sorry, everyone. I have another legal note. Hostin said, drawing groans and an, oh, God, from Behar. Both Trump and Bondi have denied allegations of a quid pro quo. They're just slinging anything out there.
This is amazing.
That his past donation played any role in her office's decision to not take legal action against Trump University when she was Attorney General of Florida. Navarro joked that the show is just going to be legal notes and things we're selling.
Well, yeah. In fact, I just read on Breaking News that the newest member of the View is Terry Crouppen. In fact, that
he's really?
The latest member. They're going to have Terry Crouppen on live every day to say, you need to walk that back. So it's even going to be in real time as the show progresses.
Are you sure he's not already there? Because that's what this sounds like is happening. I mean, that's remarkable because we thought the first one, Sonny Hostin reads the thing about Matt Gaetz.
The first one, it's funny. The first one, she looked like she was going to choke on it before she said it.
Yeah. Now they're having to make it part of content. That they're just constantly retracting their own statements.
Well, I got a better solution. I got a better solution for all this. Is that the beginning of every show should start with a disclaimer that says, warning, nothing said during the next 60 minutes is remotely true or accurate.
That's how you do it.
And
right
you just
there.
Start it right on the front end to say, everything is a work of fiction. Nothing here is a fact. And in fact, all of the opinions expressed during the next 60 minutes are baseless and have no foundation in law or reality. And you just do that kind of a disclaimer at the beginning and just tell everybody on the front end, this whole thing's fiction.
Otherwise, they're going to have their in-ear pieces. Oh, wait, that's not accurate either?
Oh, yeah.
Crap. So, hey, so we have to tell you that wasn't true.
Just start at the beginning. Nothing is true.
Just like South Park does.
Exactly.
none of these characters are actually based on anyone real.
Yeah,
and then it's like, introducing Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Like, that's not really what we're doing, though. We put the disclaimer at the beginning.
I was gonna say the only difference between the two is that South Park is funny, but honestly, The View is pretty funny.
I think The View is very funny.
It's getting there. All right. Yeah, it's this is the world we live in. I think we're all just waiting. Like, how do you do? I mean, I'm not defending them, but how do you do a show if you know that anything you say, there's a lawyer just sitting there right off the side, right, just jumping it down. Whoopi, please.
I'm just listen. As my wife always likes to say, though, it's always good when the lawyers get paid. That's my wife's favorite saying.
Yeah, I've heard your wife say that a few times.
She says that a lot.
I've never heard her actually say it.
Oh, she says it a lot.
Heard you quote it.
In fact, she says it about once a week. She says that.
Well, if I were, I'd say it daily. I mean, shoot, why not?
Well, I don't get paid every day.
Oh, okay. That's unfortunate for you. Here at Odyssey, we get paid every day. The next story is TSA warns not to bring these dishes through security checkpoints. So I didn't know that this was a thing. Apparently, people fly with their food a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever done this?
No.
Okay.
But it seems like,
disdain.
Though, it seems like the guy next to me, I've seen very large human beings that I thought were sipping gravy. So,
oh, man.
You know, I could see him doing that.
On the plane?
On the plane. I don't know what they were drinking,
gravy,
but it looked like gravy.
The TSA has released a list of approved dishes so travelers can know when and what they should tell their friends and family they'll make for this year's Turkey Day dinner. Here's the odd thing. Most foods can be carried through TSA checkpoints. I know you always like go through the checkpoint and think, oh, I can't bring my bottle of water. Most things actually can go through, it says. But if you can spill it, spread it, spray it, pump it, or pour it, and it's larger than 3.4 ounces.
Oh, the jokes.
It
the
must
jokes
be
that come to mind
in a
right
checked
now.
Bag. The TSA says that common foods like baked goods, meats, stuffing, casseroles, fresh fruit, candy, and more can be carried through security checkpoints. However, any liquid items like gravy,
mm-hmm,
canned fruits or vegetables, preserves, jellies, maple syrup, and more should be stored in your checked bag. Otherwise, they may not make it to dinner on Thursday. So if you're bringing gravy, put it in your checked bag.
Yeah. And, you know, if you put a turkey, even though you can't sip it, spread it, or sip it, if you're putting a turkey in your checked baggage, I've got two words for you. That's E. coli are the two words that I have for you.
Yeah, I got two words for you. Bop it. If you can spill it, spread it, spray it, pump
twist it,
pour it, twist it. Bop it. Ethan liked that one.
Yeah.
Damn it.
You know, we get a certain degree of freedom on the show when Annie's not
there's
here.
There's no lawyer standing outside the door.
But there's one standing inside the room.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Exactly. But we get to have a lot of fun here because when the cat's away, the mice will play. Brad Young sitting in for Annie Fry. More right after this, 97.1 FM Talk.